Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Psalm 91 in your Bibles. How to live a robust life. Be a Psalm 91 Christian. Anti-Semitism is everywhere. I cannot believe it. Our college campuses are hot with anti-Jewish rhetoric. Old Glory is being burned on college campuses. The Star of David is being burned on college campuses. People don't know what is right and what is wrong anymore. A generation, and by the way, that is the next coming generation coming very, very quickly. You say, man, is there no hope? Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no sanctuary? And I'm telling you, there is. Amen. And his name is Jesus. And you go to Psalm 91, that's what it's about here this morning. And I want you to know there are people still serving God. In every direction. We have Pastor Josh did not want me to share this, but it came out in a testimony meeting, and so I kind of felt like, okay, maybe I can share it. We have a group of teenagers at Maplewood, older teenagers, that meet twice a week, 7:30 in the morning. They're praying for a revival. Amen. It isn't advertised. I don't even think everybody in the student body knows about it, but it's more than just two or three. And they're praying and asking God for revival. You say, well, why didn't you want people to know about it? Because it's not about them. That really is their heart. They're praying and asking God to send Holy Ghost revival, not only to Fundamental Baptist Church, but to the United States of America. They're praying for one of our teenage girls won another teenager to the Lord from a neighboring school this week. I want you to know that God is still on the throne. On Thursday morning, I was able to leave one of the contractors. Nobody comes to work at Fundamental Baptist Church, even if they're a contractor, except they at least get a gospel track. Well, I had opportunity to go through the gospel with him, and he prayed and received Jesus Christ as his Savior right in front of the front doors. We were the only one. He came early, and I was able to talk to him, and then talk to him with some real heart-searching questions. And he prayed, he bowed his head and received Jesus as his Savior. Man, it's the job of the church. Psalm 91. Psalm 91 is written by Moses. Charles Spurgeon said that Psalm 91 is the Romans 8:28 verse of the passage of the Old Testament. Romans 8:28. Let's quote it together. Romans in chapter 8 and verse 28. How does it start? It starts out with what? For it doesn't say we know. For we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them are called of God, according to his purpose. Say it with me, man, it's even on the monitors now. And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. That's a great promise. And we know it's not for every Christian. Because there's a lot of Christians that don't love God. There's a lot of Christians that are not fulfilling the call of God upon their lives. Now, Psalm 91, if you would read that with me, let me read. You just follow along silently. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. I have a secret place. I have a sanctuary. I have a place of prayer, a place of Bible study, a place of fellowship with God that the world knows nothing about. Hebrews chapter 4. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. I don't have to work my way to heaven. All the work was done by Jesus at Calvary. Man, I can step into that rest. I receive Jesus as my Savior, and I am, the Bible, New Testament terminology, I am in Christ. When God the Father sees this sinner man, he sees me through the prism of the blood of the only begotten Son of God. He sees the righteousness of Christ. It's not weaponry. That doesn't say enough. I have a place of refreshment. I have a place of retooling. I have a place of revival that the world knows nothing about. Moses writes the 91st Psalm, and it is the Romans 8:28 of the Old Testament. And Moses here says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." He that gets right close to the Most High shall abide or shall continue under the shadow of the Almighty, under the protection of the Almighty. Here's a great truth for every child of God. Now, when Moses wrote this, he's talking about the tabernacle. You may not know this, and you would have to read other Old Testament parallel passages to know this, but Moses' tent was pitched right near the entrance, right near the gate to the tabernacle. Moses was not only speaking figuratively or metaphorically, he was speaking literally. He said, "I want to be close to God." He said, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High." We know that Moses loved the tabernacle. We know that in reading the Psalms, David loved the tabernacle. We know that the New Testament Christian is to love the New Testament church. And what Moses is saying here is if you and I will just get close to God, there is a place of refreshment. There is a place of retoolment. There is a place of revival. Can I say it this way? And it sounds so basic and almost cheap, but it's not cheap. My happy place. It's where I go, where I'm alone with God. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." In a day and age when people, you say, well, it's just a couple hundred people. It's turned into thousands from the river to the sea. You know when they show that their hands painted red, I'm talking about the Hamas people and some of our misguided college kids today. You know, that isn't about Hamas being tortured. You do the research on this. That was a terrorist that leaned out of a hotel room and a hotel window, and his hands were blood with red blood, red with the blood of a Jewish citizen, and everybody cheered as he held those hands up. That's what that's about. You say, how can it be coming to that? Jesus is coming soon. He said, we do live in exciting days. We have what opportunities we have. And I would say to you this morning, the best way I know how, you find a place, you find a way to get close to God. It's not about building statues or a name for yourself. It's about building bridges to the cross so other people can come to Christ. It's about clearing paths so the next generation or people right after you will know where to turn. Man, we need to live for God in the day and age in which we live. Now, let's spend a little bit of time here in Psalm 91 and trust that it will be a blessing to you as we work our way through it. I understand this. There is a great pull today from the world to get you away from God. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For they are not of the Father. The things of the world are not of God. Not of God. There's all kinds of things to pull you away from God. But instead, you need to dwell in the secret place of the Most High and abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's a prayer closet. That's Bible study. That's the New Testament local church ordained of God. Amen. That is fellowshipping with God's people. That is getting here every chance you can. I wish we had this kind of crowd on a Wednesday night prayer meeting. The UP wouldn't be dark anymore. I'll guarantee you that. I'll guarantee you that. Chippewa County wouldn't be as dark as it is right now if we had this many people that were prayer warriors and not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And I'm not trying to chide you, and I'm not chewing you out, but I am rebuking you. If you're sitting at home instead of coming to prayer meeting, and I know you work. Man, I know what it is. You're tired at the end of the day, but there's nothing like prayer meeting to retool, to refresh, to revive. Because you're not coming to prayer meeting to get. You're coming to prayer meeting to give. You're coming to pray on behalf of the brethren, brothers, and sisters. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." There is a secret place. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. I'll just cut off some at the end of the message. I want you to see this. Hebrews and chapter 4, verse 11. "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest." Come to Jesus and Jesus alone. lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And then he says, for the word of God is quick and powerful. And then he says in verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Hang on. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He invites us to intimacy. We're New Testament Christians. We don't worship in a temple anymore. We don't worship in a tabernacle. We worship in a church house, and he invites us, and that's a tabernacle, I understand that, a temporary dwelling place, and he invites the family of God to gather together, preach the word of God, preach the whole word of God, the whole counsel of God, evangelize the lost. He said, you come together, I'll retool you. I will refresh you. I will revive you. He said, there's a secret place. Enter into that rest. The world knows nothing of it. I've almost said it three times, and I've said it before. I know I have. I have a secret weapon. Man, it's that secret place, that sanctuary, that rest that I find in Christ. Aren't you glad you don't have to keep the law in order to go to heaven? Aren't you glad that you don't mess the law up one time? That doesn't mean that does not mean that you're aborted or you're somehow executed from the family of God. That's not how it works. Aren't you glad we don't have the handwriting of the ordinances and all of the Sabbath commands and all of the commands of the Old Testament? We have to carry them in order to become a child of God and stay a child of God. Aren't you glad for that? That is a rest that Jesus has provided. The handwriting of the ordinances were nailed to the cross. Colossians and that tells us that. And the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us because we couldn't fulfill it. Jesus did it for us. Amen. I have rest today. I didn't have to keep the Sabbath yesterday, seventh day of the week. In fact, I ate cooked food that was warmed up in a fire. I heated my house. I traveled yesterday. You see, none of us kept the Sabbath. Jesus fulfilled the Sabbath. And the Sabbath man wasn't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. I'm on another sermon right now. That's just one part of the law. But it's all fulfilled in Christ. What a wonderful truth that is. I have a secret place. You have a secret place. The work of redemption is done. It is finished. My future is provided for as well in the person of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 2. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge. Man, I can run to him. It's a big, bad, nasty world. I can run to him. He's my refuge, my secret place, and my fortress, bulwark. Man, I'm there. I am protected by God. He provided for the Hebrews, even in the wilderness. Their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. And manna was provided, and they drank water from the rock that flowed from the rock. God provided their every need. In the year 2024, in this messed up 21st century that rapidly is deteriorating, I have a secret place, a resting place. My God, in him will I trust. Verse 3, surely, I circled that word in my Bible, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, the entrapments. Sometimes I find myself doing wrong and I did not plan on doing wrong. Sometimes I am entrapped. I am ensnared by the evil one. I find myself in a situation where, man, how did I get in this mess? Man, where do I go? I can turn to God. I have a secret place. I have a place of refreshment, retooling, and reviving. I have a place, a fortress, a bulwark. I have a place, a refuge that I can run to. Say, preacher, how can you handle everybody's problems? I can't. If I had to shoulder all of the issues that are going on, I'm talking about family stuff, all the families. I don't even get, people don't even come to me with everything. Well, I'm thankful for that. Man, I'd be in the loony bin. I'd have more than high blood pressure. I'd have died of a stroke 20 years ago. But I have a secret place. I have a refuge, a bulwark, a fortress. Man, I can go to him. He's my rock. He delivers me from the snare of the fowler and the noisome pestilence, things that I have no control over, unnerving things. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. That's two different words for big shield and little shield. He protects me. I'm under his wings. Turn to Deuteronomy in chapter 32 and verse 11. Deuteronomy in chapter 32. Verse 11, as the eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them and bare them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead them, and there was no strange God with them. It's beautiful. It's picturesque. It's a metaphor. Just like the eagle takes care of the little eaglets, takes care of the young, even bears them upon her wings when she is flying. Man, what a picture that is. My Lord carries me all through life. All through the pilgrimage of life, he is there to protect me. Man, I'm nestled right down in the nest. The eagle spreads the wings, and I'm there, and I'm protected. That's why we need to abide close to God. We are the ones that are being protected. If seek ye for, the Bible tells us in Romans in chapter 8 and verse 28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Man, stay in that secret place. He'll protect you every step of the way. Go back to Psalm 91 again. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. I don't have to be afraid of the dark. I don't have to be afraid of the boogeyman. In the year 2024, man, if everything just goes completely sour, I mean everything. I mean, just picture the worst. Picture all electricity stopping. Picture everything. I'm not a doomsday prophet. That's not what I choose. And it's not Pollyanna. And it's not sugarcoating things. I just choose to trust God. There's two ways of looking at life. The glass is half full or the glass is half empty. And I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking. I'm talking about faith in God. I'm talking about Romans in chapter 8 and verse 28. I'm speaking about the 91st Psalm. Moses said, man, I want to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You know what Moses was saying? Literally, he was saying, I live next door to God. The tabernacle is built. He built it according to exactly how God said to build it. The tribes were around the tabernacle according to their tribes, exactly like God said to do it. And Moses was right near the entrance of the tabernacle. Moses said, man, God has led us, and God, we are led and fed by the hand of God. Amen. He's there with us every step of the way. And just like Jesus loved and God loved the Old Testament Hebrews, he loves his church. He says that his church is precious. Man, stay with a New Testament church. There's all different levels of it. There's all kinds of brands. We got all kinds of weaker sisters everywhere. Now, I'm not saying we're the epitome, but we hold on to the Bible with both hands. And we do our very best to preach the whole counsel and to do our very best to fulfill the Great Commission. And we preach holiness. And we preach being separated from the world. And we preach love sinners, just like Jesus does. And reach as many as we can, whatever days are left here in this world. But there's a secret place. And it's a great promise. You don't have to be afraid. Verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh to thee. Remember when you were little and you used to, I used to think this. I was always proud of my dad. My dad was always a big man. Of course, when you're a kindergarten, your dad's a big man, right? And all through grade school. And I really did believe my daddy could beat your daddy. I really believed that. I was sold. I knew how hard he spanked. Man, I knew how he controlled the home. Man, I knew my daddy could beat your daddy. Your daddy's got a pot belly. My daddy whip up on your daddy. You know that's kind of how I thought. And when my daddy walked into the gymnasium or the football field, man, I was proud to have everybody know that's my dad over there. And sometimes he wore a cowboy hat. Sometimes he wore his baseball cap. But that's my dad over there. I was proud of that. I want you to know I have a father in heaven. And there is power in this world that can stand up to him. Not a one. And that's why Moses was able to sing this psalm. What a happy song. That Psalm 91. And he said it again and again. He said, man, I ain't afraid of anything. I've got God. Man, I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He's my refuge. He's my bulwark. Man, he is my stay. He's my rock. He delivers me from the entrapments of the evil one again and again and again. Verse 8 says, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. as a soldier of the cross, in the heat of the battle, in the center of God's will, we are invincible. Verse 1 and other passages says there's one condition. One. And that's I love God supremely. If I love him supremely, then I'm going to be close and under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He doesn't want just words. God's not looking for lip service. Just like with salvation, it's all about the heart. Amen. It's all about the heart. You call upon Christ from your heart, he'll save you. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And that's salvation. With your heart, you call out to God, knowing you're a sinner, and you ask for salvation, you get born again. If you just call out to God and it's words, and it's not with your heart, that's not salvation. You're not born again. Jesus said, the greatest commandment, we love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. God wants our heart. Let's go back to Psalm 91. I'll move quickly. Verse 9. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, make Jesus Lord of your life. Not only Savior, but Lord. In order to read this psalm right, this is the way you've got to read. This is what you understand. The promise is given because Jesus is Lord, because thou hast made the Lord. And the song, and Moses said, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Now he is not thy my house. And now he's not saying the Christian will never suffer problems. He's not saying the Old Testament Hebrew Christian, Old Testament child of God would never have problems. They did, and they had battles, but will never be alone and will be under his protection. Refuge, rock, buckler, shield, deliverer. Verse 10, verse 11. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Now, I don't want you to take this too far. Go to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse. No, don't go there. I don't have time. Hebrews 1 and verse 14 speaks of angel, guardian angels being ministering spirits to those that will inherit eternal life. We have angels, there are battles being fought all around us that we don't even know that spiritual realm that is taking place. Remember, Satan was at one time a holy cherub. At one time, he was an angel and he fell from God in rebellion and took a third of the angels from heaven. There are angelic wars going on all the time. God assigns guardian angels to every saint of God, to every child of God. Now, we don't worship them. The only names we know are Gideon and Michael, and of course there was Lucifer, and we know some evil angels, Apollyon, different things like that, but we don't even know the names of our guardian angels. You don't worship, and if they're angels of God, they don't want your worship. Whenever an angel of God appeared in the Bible, never accepted worship, never. Get up, I'm a servant just like you. Get up, don't you worship me. We don't have pictures of angels that we bow down and pray to. We don't have little statues of angels on the dash of our car. Man, we don't even know what their names are. That's not what, they are ministering spirits. We'll meet them one day, but they're ministering spirits. And the Bible tells us he has angels watching over us. Is an angel for Fundamental Baptist Church? Don't know his name. Is an angel for you and for me? Ministering spirits, let's read on. I didn't want to kind of get off on that too far this morning. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Remember, Lucifer, Satan quoted this passage to Jesus in the wilderness. Thou shalt tread upon the lion, David did that, and the adder, Paul did that. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Now, dragon, lizard, snake, because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. God wants our heart. This is verses 14 through 16, by the way, the whole mood, the whole tenor of the psalm changes. God is saying these words. He says in verse 14, because thou hast set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. What a God we serve. We have that advocate, that great high priest, I want to say it again at least one more time in this message, because someone could be watching or listening right now and they didn't hear anything else in the message. I want everybody to know it. We have a great high priest. His name is Jesus Christ. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He is our only advocate. He is our only mediator. And he invites us to the throne of grace. I love the terminology. Throne of grace. And we can come boldly, because I don't deserve to be there. But because of Jesus, my great high priest, I can come and find help in time of need. A secret place where no one else can help. When no one else understands. Maybe you can't share it with anyone. You can go to the throne of God. There's a promise. And then he says in the final verse, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. There's a full life. It's a good life. It's a life that is blessed of God. The Bible tells us in Psalm 23, let's turn over there together, just turn a few pages. Verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You understand, you are not supposed to be a defeated child of God in the year 2024 in the church of Jesus Christ. Instead, our cup is supposed to run over with the blessings of God. He sets a table before us in the presence of our enemies. We're in this lost world right now, and God provides for us in the presence of our enemies. Goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. One condition. I give God my heart. I make him my Lord. You can live life the way you want to live it. It'll be a struggle, buddy. You'll be on the struggle bus every day of your life. But if you'll surrender to Christ, then he'll be able to bless you. You'll be under the shadow of his wings. You're close. You're right where you're supposed to be. It's Sunday night. Man, there you are in the church house. It's Wednesday night. There you are. There you are in the church house. It's early in the morning. There you are with your Bible open. There you are in your prayer closet. Man, you're right close to him. You love him. You love him. You're telling him you love him. You're showing him you love him. And he's your deliverer. He'll get you out of those entrapments, those snares. He'll get you out of that trouble. He'll lead you every step of the way. He promises you a long life, a full life. How about this? I'll satisfy him. Fulfillment. Can I tell you this? The world will not fulfill your life. You say, I'm going to get some more money. Going to be empty. So I'm going to get some more toys. Going to be empty. I'm going to be the highest scorer in that. Going to be empty. That's not it. It's Christ. And we know that all things work together for good. We know it. Paul said we know it. Moses said the same thing. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. You're in the center of God's will for your life. Man, you're invincible. You're bulletproof. No harm will come to you except by the hand of God. He allows it to happen, and it's for your good. That's the big picture. Man, preacher, I'm trying to serve God, and this happened in my life. It's for your good. That's the way you got to look at it. That's not Pollyanna. That's not sugarcoating hard times. That's growing in grace. That's growing your faith. That's being able to get other people in the lifeboat right along with you, because God gave you a platform. Our God is good. It's a good life if you're surrendered.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.